First question by Cerchai.
I'm here. Bianca Cerchiai from the Centro Fermi and Politecnico di Torino. I have a question. How it is possible to get better and better data with using supernovae when there are so few of them? How does the statistics work?
Well, we will hit a limit, but we haven't hit the limit of supernova, right? I mean, we've seen, I'll probably get it wrong, but of order 10 to the 3. LSST, which will be coming online in the next 5 years, its original prediction is we would get something like 10 to the 5 supernova. So we're nowhere near the statistical limits, i.e. the number of supernova that we might work with. Now, there's a fundamental problem, which is we don't understand supernova well enough. As you probably know, there are problems. We don't understand their evolution very well, and we don't understand their environment very well. And so there are systematic errors that have already been mentioned today, which we still don't have under control. But statistically, it's not a problem.
Yaroslav Klopot from Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, Dubna. My question is about axion. So it is known to be a hypothetical particle, which is one of the candidates for dark matter. And as I understand, it acquires mass due to some non-trivial QCD effects, so QCD vacuum effects, so it's a kind of Goldstone boson. Do you have any cosmological constraints on the mass of the axion, and is the mass large enough to explain the dark matter?
Yes. So, the QCD axion is a very heavy dark matter particle. Okay. So it will behave non-relativistically. Through all the history which is of interest to us, all the history that we'll probe. And so it falls squarely into the regime of cold dark matter. And unfortunately, we won't be able to put constraints on the mass of the QCD axion, but it is quite possible, and there are a lot of people who believe, that the QCD axion is the cold dark matter. Now, there's a possibility that there are other axions in the universe that don't come from QCD, but it's the same type of mechanism. And this is something that has been advocated by people working on string theory. And they've said that it's quite conceivable that we should have many different types of axions, and that the distribution of masses in axions should be of order 1 per decade in mass scale. Now, what that means is that we should have very light axions, ultralight axions. And so the constraints that I showed you at the end of my lecture were exactly constraints on these types of axions, ultralight axions. And the interesting thing about those axions is they're so light that if they're too light, they behave like dark energy. And if they're too heavy, they behave like dark matter. And we see evidence for dark energy and evidence for dark matter. So in some sense, this is kind of a probability plot of how many of these axions we allow, our cosmological data allows. And if they're very light, they can be like dark energy, and we see that there is dark energy. So this is where they behave like dark energy, and this is where they behave like dark matter. And we know that they behave dark matter. They could be the whole dark matter. But there's an intermediate regime where the behavior is a little bit funny, and it affects the power spectrum in such a way that we can constrain them and shows that they're not very probable.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ivanevsky?
I'm here. Alexey Ivanitsky from the Bogolyubov Institute for Theoretical Physics. My question is about parameter omega, which relates pressure and energy density. As you said, it's negative. However, I can't understand how positive energy density can lead to negative pressure. Moreover, such a system could be seems to be not stable dynamically.
So, first of all, it's W, not omega. All right, and you're talking about the equation of state. And you're absolutely right. If we look at the stuff that we know, the particles that we know, either relativistic particles like photons, they have an equation of state where this W is equal a third, or non-relativistic, where this W is equal to zero, doesn't make any sense to have a negative a W. But you can do the following calculation. You can sit down and work out what is the energy density of vacuum fluctuations. Just sum up the zero-point fluctuations in a field. And what you find is that your resulting energy and pressure, or your resulting energy momentum, is such that your pressure is minus the energy density. So you have a very specific case there where it does actually behave like that W is equal to minus one. I don't think I understand your question about it not being stable. I think you might be confusing the fact that it has a negative pressure with the fact that it has negative energy. That's not what this is. It has negative pressure.
Bell'Antuono? Hello, I'm Loredana Bell'Antuono from Bari University. My question is about the comparison between the quark gluon plasma that formed during the early evolution of the universe and the one produced in relativistic heavy ion collision. So, are there differences, and in what the study of one of the two plasmas give information on the other one?
That's a really good question, and let me say up front, I'm not sure how to answer that. The fact is that the people who work on heavy ion collision often say that they're looking at what the universe looks like at very early times, and they say that they're looking at something at very high energies, and so this is... I don't completely understand this argument, because basically, at very early universe, you have this thermal system at very high temperatures, and that's what you're looking at here. Here, you're smashing stuff together in completely different configurations. So my naive statement is, I don't completely understand the comparison, apart from the fact that it's very high energy, equating very high energies with very high temperatures.
Thank you.
So, are there any more questions for Professor Ferreira? No. I'll thank speaker then. Thank you for a nice talk.